الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan Ayami, or your instructor for our weekly class. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of my faith. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with some way of taking notes, paper, pen, pencil, or some kind of recording device. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to our class, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be on seeking the pleasure of Allah, doing things for the pleasure of Allah, strictly for the pleasure of Allah. Allah says in one verse in the Quran, "Who is it that would loan Allah a goodly loan, so he will multiply it for him, and he will have a noble reward?" We're talking about here that doing things for the pleasure of Allah, doing things that pleases Allah. Because if we do that, Allah will reward us multiple times. It's like when we give one thing, give what you call one sadaqah, or one thing in charity for the pleasure of Allah, Allah multiplies it at least 10 times. Or what you may call, even put it in his hand and kind of mold it, if you will, until it multiplies many, many times. It's like a person, and I mentioned this before, it's like the parable in the Quran where it mentions about giving one sadaqah or giving one reward or giving doing something for someone else. It's like planting one seed in the ground, just one seed. And that one seed produces one stalk. And on that stalk, you have seven ears, like seven ears of corn, for example. And on each ear of corn, you have 100 grains or 100 kernels. And so, 7 times 100 is what? 700. So just for giving that person something to eat, a morsel in their mouth, or giving a dollar or a penny or a real or whatever your money is called, where you are, just giving one of those, just strictly for the pleasure of Allah. Just think that Allah will multiply that for you 700 times. So don't be tight on your money. And do it for the pleasure of Allah. Don't do it so that others can say, "Hey, look what I'm doing." Or they can say, "Look what he's doing." It's like the people I mentioned before. There's three people that go before Allah, and basically they are liars. And that would be one, is that a person who say, I fought in your cause. And Allah said, "You are a liar. You didn't fight in my cause. You fought so people can call you a great warrior." And they did. So you already receive your reward. So really, you basically get nothing here today. And so go send the person to the hellfire. A person who is a very educated person, a scholar. And he said, "Yo Allah, I taught people for your sake, for your cause." And he said, no, you're a liar. You didn't teach people for me. You taught people so they could call you the great scholar." And they did that. So you already received your reward, what you sought on earth. You already received that. So to hell for you. And then you had the last person, the person who said, "Yeah, this is a rich person. A person gave in the cause of Allah." I said, "Yo Allah, I gave in your cause. I supported people in your cause." And Allah would say, no, you're a liar. Because you gave, so people call you a great giver. And so you received that from the people. So on this day, you have nothing. Get nothing from me because you already received what you wanted from the people on earth. And so for you also, to hell with you, that's your abode. And so we have to be very careful how we do things. Are we doing it for the pleasure of Allah? Are we doing it for the pleasure of others? So be careful what you do. There should be a thing where you give, your right hand should not know what your left hand is doing, and your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing. That's how secretly you should give and not boast about it. Now, some scholars say if you're like at a fundraiser, well, right now we had the COVID, so we're not doing a lot of gathering right now. The COVID crisis is going on. But the thing is, if you have at a fundraiser and you want to help people and motivate people to give, maybe the person who's doing the fundraising, maybe we'll say, yeah, I'm going to give $100. Who's going to match me with $100? Something like that. Some scholars say this is okay to do. You're trying to motivate the people, but you're not trying to brag about, look, I'm giving $100. Or before, this is whatever community you're in, whatever faith you're in. Many of us, we collect some kind of money or put it in some kind of box, or they pass it around or some kind of hat or box and collect the money so that the place of worship can survive. And they also be able to help other people. And so the thing is that you don't stand in the middle of the floor and say, look here, everybody, I'm putting this money inside of this box in this hat. Watch me do so, because you want to be praised by the people. This is not doing for the pleasure of Allah. And this is something that you may not be get multiple rewards for. So be very, very careful of what you do. So let's move on, my beautiful students. When you're talking about seeking the pleasure of Allah, there's a difference between seeking the pleasure of Allah and seeking a pleasure for yourself. What is your niyyah? What is your intent in giving what you give when you give it? What is your intent? You intend to show off to people, or you just intend to do it for the pleasure of Allah? So be very careful of why you're doing what you do. Also, I want to mention something very, very important. Some people that are very important to our lives. And that is, it was said by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, the Lord's pleasure is in the parent's pleasure, and the Lord's anger is in the parent's anger. Now, this is beautiful. This is what the Prophet, he said, is that you please your parents, Allah is pleased. You make your parents angry, Allah is angry too. So be careful about how you treat your parents. There was a time where parents were like gold, if you will, and that they were respected. They were not worshiped in that way, but they were respected. They were cared for. They were kissed on the forehead. Or they were kissed on the hand or something like that. Or what do you need? I will get it for you. But you have a lot of time nowadays, you have people, they don't care about their parents. They don't care. They don't have the respect with their parents. There's no distinction between their parents and other people. There should be a great distinction between your parents and other people. And then when you become a parent, also should be some distinctions there too. Is that understanding that these people are very important people, not because your parents, not because they're your parents, but also because Allah is pleased. When they are pleased, Allah is pleased. When they are angry, Allah also is angry. So be careful how we treat our parents. I used to work a long time ago in a place where we took care of children who were abused, particularly right then it was a bunch of boys that were abused by parents, or they got in trouble with the law or something like that. And so they went to the home that I worked in. And the thing is, these boys, many of them were very angry at their parents. One time a child, he got on the phone, his father was on the phone, and the father was talking to him. And I couldn't tell who was the parent and who was the child, because the child was fussing at the parent, at his parent. Until I had to step in and tell him, don't do that. Don't talk to your father like that. He sort of chilled down or cooled down a little bit, but I could see in his face he was still red and angry at his father. I don't know what it was, what was going on between them. I don't know what happened between them, but I also know that the way he was treating his father was not a good way to be. It was an inappropriate way to be. Because if he didn't want to talk to his father, he should have said, so told me that I don't want to talk with him. But he had to get something off his chest. and he needed to get off his chest. But for me, I just couldn't take it, because I would not want to treat my parent like that. Or if I was on the other end, I would not want to be treated like that. And so I could not stand there and allow him to treat his parents like that. And that's the other thing for my beautiful students, is that when you see a wrong being done, step in. And if you can't change it with your hand, then say something with your mouth. And if you can't do that, then at least hate the act within your heart. At least that much. And that is the lowest form of faith that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said. We can't just let things continue to go on the way they are, and they go on unchecked. That we don't say anything about a wrong that's being done and allow a wrong to continue to be done. And so I hope that my beautiful students out there, you are that are parents, you treat your children also in a beautiful way, in a nice way, and also you are who have parents, then you also treat them in a beautiful, in a nice, in a kind way, as it says in the hadith, in the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, that the Lord's pleasure is in the pleasure, in the parents' pleasure, and the Lord's anger is in the parents' anger. So be very careful about this kind of thing, my beautiful students. Also, in another hadith, another saying by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, indeed, anyone who fasts for one day for Allah's pleasure, Allah will keep his face away from the hell fire for a distance covered by a journey of 70 years, meaning 70 years. And so, fasting is a beautiful way of staying away from the hellfire. If you go back to some of my earlier episodes, I talked about hellfire and what happens in the hellfire and the torment in the hellfire. And no one wants to go there. Some people say, I just go there for a little while. You don't want to go there at all, even just for a little while. If you burn your hand, that temporary sting on your hand, that's only temporary. But we're talking about something going to be going on 24/7 all the time, and maybe forever you will be in a hellfire receiving the punishment from Allah for things that you've done on this earth. And as long as you have breath in your body, you have an opportunity to change your way. All of us have an opportunity to change our way as long as we have breath in our body and we're above ground and not below ground before people bury us. So again, fasting is one of the ways to keep us away from the hellfire and to keep our faces away from the hellfire. The journey of 70 years, 70 years, it gets to make the distance between ourselves and the hellfire. Because why? Because we fast for the pleasure of Allah, just one day. I'm not fasting to show off and say, look, everyone, I'm fasting. It's like a sort of a joke that people say sometimes. I don't know if it's a hadith or not, but it's a very telling of something that I mentioned earlier and now, is that a man came to the masjid, and he was going to, that's the place where the Muslim pray, and he came to the masjid to pray. And so there's a group of men in there, and they were sitting around talking. And so the man, he prayed, said, Allahu Akbar, and he stood before Allah praying. And so the men that were sitting inside the masjid, they were saying all these good things about him. Man, he's so humble. He's so nice. All these pleasures, all these really nice things about him while he's standing there in prayer. And then the man in prayer, he turned to them and said, yeah, and I'm fasting too. So you take that for whatever it's worth. Is, I don't know if it's a joke, if it's true or whatever, but it certainly is telling about the person. What was he doing that everything for? Was he doing it for the pleasure of Allah to include his prayer? Or was he doing it to be boastful, or for people to boast about him? But his fasting, he said, I'm fasting too, so I don't know. Allah knows best. Or what happened to his fast after that? Will Allah accept that fast? Or was it something that is a fast should be done in secret and not praise about? Seek praise from people that, look, I'm fasting today. Everyone give me praise because I'm fasting. I'm resisting drinking anything. I'm resisting eating anything. I'm resisting having sex with my wife. I'm doing all these kind of resisting things. Look at me. And so be careful of why you do things, doing things for the pleasure of Allah or doing it for the pleasure of others. Also, it was mentioned in another hadith, it says, wealth is not diminished by giving in charity. Allah's augments the honor of one who the augment of one who is forgiven. Allah augments the honor of one who forgives, and the one who displays humbleness towards another seeking the pleasure of Allah, Allah exalts him in rank. So this is what Allah, he does for a person doing things in his, for his cause. That person is given their money, and it does not diminish at all, because of, as I mentioned before, when you give that one sadaqah or that one charity or that one bit of money for the sake of Allah, it grows, as I mentioned earlier. And sometimes Shaitan or the devil may make you hold on to your money. Say, man, if you give your money away, you're going to be poor. You're going to be in a poorhouse. They're going to take away from you, away from your money. Hold on to your money. Hoard your money. And so you may end up doing that. Hold on to your money and hoarding your money. And then what happens? Then you don't end up giving it because you're afraid of being poor. It'll be like the person you're trying to give money to. So you don't worry about that. None of us worry about that kind of thing. We continue to give for the pleasure of Allah and be humble for Allah and fast for Allah. Do the things we do to please Allah. That's what we as Muslims, we have to do. And those of you who want to understand Islam, that also what Muslims do. And if you in society, you're going to embrace Islam. This is something that you should do too. And if others around you are not doing it, okay, then that's their choice. Then you do it. Say, for example, you decide to embrace Islam. You decide to become Muslim. Then you go by what is in Quran and Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He said, I leave two things for you. The Prophet Muhammad says, I leave two things for you. And if you do these things, follow these things, you cannot go wrong. He said, the Quran and my sunnah, meaning my way, my path. I leave these two things and you cannot go wrong. He did not say, I leave so-and-so behind and just follow so-and-so. He did not say that. Follow Quran and follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, his way, his path. Then you will not go wrong. So if others are not doing it, you do it. And maybe you will encourage others to do so. But don't be persuaded by others if they decide they're not going to do a certain thing that is good, that is Islamically sound, and then you also decide not to do it because they said so. It was also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He said, whoever acquires knowledge by which the pleasure of Allah is sought, but he only acquires it for the purpose of worldly gain, will not smell the fragrance of paradise on a day of resurrection. So we see here, and I mentioned before about the person who said, yes, I taught for your pleasure. And Allah said, you're a liar. You didn't teach for my pleasure. You taught because you want to for people to call you this great scholar. This is basically a worldly gain. So if you're seeking knowledge for worldly gain, then what happens? You would not smell the fragrance of paradise on the day of resurrection. And you go back to one of my earlier episodes, I talked about what paradise is all about and how some basic information about the basic look and what's going on in the paradise that we all really do want to seek if we're able to seek the paradise. So I suggest that for you all to make sure that when you do things, you're doing it for the pleasure of Allah, to please Allah, to seek Allah's pleasure, and not for the pleasure of mankind, because you're going to end up failing if you do that. Now let me talk about for a moment in the last few minutes that we have some of the great leaders of Islam and some of the things that they did solely to seek the pleasure of Allah. Abu Bakr, who was the father-in-law of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and he was the first Khalifa, the first leader after the death of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And so it was mentioned about him, about his feet becoming dusty in the service of Allah. And what do I talk about? It was mentioned when Uthman's army left for Syria, Abu Bakr walked for some distance along with the army to see its departure. Uthman was riding on horseback, and he requested Abu Bakr that he should be permitted to dismount, or the Khalifa, meaning Abu Bakr, should also ride on a horse. Abu Bakr said, no, neither shall you dismount, nor shall I mount a horse. For according to the tradition of the holy prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, he whose foot becomes dusty in the way of Allah will be preserved from the hellfire. So this is a beautiful thing, this leader. Can you imagine leaders in your town where you live, in your country where you live? Can you imagine them doing something like this? Can you imagine such a thing that they say, no. You ride, I walk. No, it'll be more likely it'll be the opposite. You walk and I ride. I take that camel, I take that car, I take that plane, whatever it is, and you walk beside me, if you're able to walk beside me or behind me or something like that. But these leaders, this is the beauty of them. Matter of fact, you had a few stories where you had the religious leaders, the Muslim leaders, that they would walk into a town. One person a servant, and the other person is the Muslim leader, Prophet Muhammad, Umar, Abu Bakr, and they will walk into a town. And so the people would know that, yeah, guess so-and-so, this leader is coming, this great leader is coming to town. And so when they see the two people coming, one on a horse and one walking, or one on a camel, something like that, one walking, and so they would greet the one that is on a camel as the leader. And no, he was not the leader. The leader was the one that was walking next to the camel, out of Prophet Muhammad, or it was Umar, Abu Bakr, whomever it was, because that was their leadership style. You can't imagine any leader doing that kind of thing, because if they do something like that, it may be for photo op, or taking a picture with a phone, a cell phone, or something like that. It's for the photo opportunity, for the media. But they didn't do that for that reason. That's just how equal they were, how kind they were, how generous they were, how compassionate they were. And they did things for the pleasure of Allah. Abu Bakr, he did the same thing for seeking the pleasure, pleasing the pleasure of Allah, and for nothing, no more than that. And they also are making an example for others to do the same thing that they're doing. When you're in that leadership position, this is something that you must do. Matter of fact, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he said, basically to the people, he basically said to them, the people who are little in front of me, I guess the poor, whomever, that you will be big in front of me. And the people who are big in front of me, I guess the rich or whomever, you will be small in front of me. This is one of the things that he said to the people, letting the people know, look, because you have all this power and this money, doesn't mean that you get prestige over the little people. And because you're little, does not mean you're poor or whatever, does not mean I'm going to disrespect you. I'm going to treat you as nothing. You're a secondary citizen or third level citizen, a third tier citizen. No, I'm going to give you the respect that you deserve. When you come before me, I'm going to respect you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to take care of you. And so this is the beautiful thing about what Abu Bakr did, to being a good example for the rest of the people. Now, we talk about Uthman, and I believe it was Uthman who did something really great. And there was a well that was in I think it was in Medina, and it was owned by another person, who the person wasn't really that fair with the well, and they were not really generous with the well, but they owned the well. And some days a Muslim would take from it, and some days other people would take from it. Or the Muslim may be a limited amount that they could take from it, and then the other people would take more from the well, from the water well. And so what he did, he brought the well. He saved his money up, and he brought the well, and he allowed the Muslims to take as much as they wanted from that well. Because he did things for the sake of Allah. He did say things for the pleasure of Allah. And I want to mention to you all, because there are some that may be listening to me, and you may not even have a water well, or you got to go to the river or something to get water. Those of you who have the money to be able to help these people, help these people. These people have a challenge, like Uthman did. He brought the well for the people. Then you donate your money to organizations that are digging wells in these areas where the people don't have water wells, and they have to walk miles to get water and carry it back on their head and the like. So donate your money to organizations like Mercy USA, like Islamic Relief, like ICNA Relief, which is Islamic Circle of North America, or any organization, Muslim organization, that they are doing or digging wells in these areas in Kenya, Tanzania, wherever it is, wherever country, whatever country, that they dig in these wells so that people can have access to water. Water is something that our body needs. We have to have. And so don't deny this other people, and you'll get great blessings for this. You're doing it for the pleasure of Allah, not to put your name on it or put your family name on the well. You're doing it for the pleasure, strictly for the pleasure of Allah. And guess what? When you do that and you put up $3,000, whatever it costs to dig one well, what happens is that well keep producing water and water and water. And say, for example, you die the next day. It could be a form of sadaqa jariyah. It could be something that you receive blessings for while you're in your grave. Because once our book is closed in our grave, then that's it. Our book is closed and we enter into our grave, then that's it. All of the deeds that we do, that's it. It's done. But this type of deed, this type of thing, can continue to benefit from it while you're in your grave. If you dig a well for a place where these people need the water, then you are in your grave, and every time the people sip from that water, drink from that water, animals drink from the water, you get the blessing for that. Or when you plant a tree, the same thing. It's doing it for the pleasure of Allah. And anyone that takes from that tree, seek whatever shade from the tree, whatever lives in the tree, then you also get what is called sadaqa jariyah inside of the grave. And so you can also benefit, like Uthman benefit from that well, buying that well for the people to benefit from it. So please, my beautiful students, do what you can do for the pleasure of Allah, and only strictly for seeking the pleasure of Allah. There was a time during Umar's time, who was the second Khalifa of Islam, the second leader of Islam after Abu Bakr. There was I think I had mentioned it before, a famine broke out in a particular area. Say where you live, there's no famine, you all can eat and that kind of thing. But outside of where you live, the people have a struggling to eat because a famine broke out and the people couldn't get anything to eat. And so what Umar did, he didn't say, okay, that's your problem, I'll build a wall and say, okay, y'all on that side, you deal with your famine, and people on this side, we're going to be okay. That's not what he did. He told the different governors from other countries that were Muslims, or which Muslims were in charge of. He told them to send from your place, your Baytul Mal, your stores, or your warehouses, send some of that extra food to us so that we can feed the people. And so each day they fed about 40,000 people each day until the famine was over. And so he did it for the pleasure of Allah, and looking out for the people, and doing it strictly for the pleasure of Allah. Then you have Ali, who was the final Khalifa and leader of the Muslims. And he said, okay, Uthman also was one of the leaders of the Muslims. I didn't mention that earlier. He was the most truthful person, and he was the most honest person. He gave a lot of charity to others. He looked out after the widows and the orphans. The widows and orphans are very, very important because they need help. They need someone to help them to survive, and be honest and truthful with them. And so he would help these people. He would help those people out as much as he can. And so these are people who did things for the pleasure of Allah and for no other reason. I'm going to read this last hadith. I think this is a very beautiful one and very poignant. And that is, when Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, indeed, Allah would say to the people of paradise, O people of paradise, they would say, we respond to you, O our Lord, and we are at your service. Then he will say, are you pleased? They will say, why should we not be pleased when you have given us what you have not given anyone from your creation? So he will say, I shall give you what is greater than that. They will say, and what is greater than that? He will say, I shall cover you with my pleasure, and I shall not become angry with you ever. I'm going to leave it on that note. You want to find out more information about Islam? You can always go to whyislam.org and find out more information about Islam. You can go to the what we call the International Online University and find out more information about Islam and learn more about Islam. Or you can go to American Open University and find out more about Islam and learn more about Islam. And also with these two that I mentioned, get a degree in Islamic studies or get a certificate in Islamic studies. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.